Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's sermon.
I got a call a couple of weeks ago from someone I really respect and admire and love. Teek Milan called, well, wrote, because that's how we call, and said something like, I would really like to be baptized. And I said, well, come on, baby, let's do this thing. We can do this thing. And I just felt called both to do the water sprinkling, but also to preach the sermon. I wanted to say so many things. There's too many things to say in a short homily. But I'll just say the way I felt when I got that note from you. You and I got to do a thing together in Harlem. It was a really big stage, a really big show. And we were talking about justice and the stuff that we hold in common. And I knew you, Teek, but I didn't know you until I heard you and saw you be you. And I was like, oh my God, this person. This full of Holy Spirit, this revolutionary lover, this badass person is part of my community. Woohoo! Who knew? Who knew how much goodness was locked up in there? And it made me think about identity. And it made me think about becoming, of course. Teek is out as a trans man. Becoming, right? Like our trans friends, when they are becoming who they already are, right? They're becoming who they already are. Oh my God, what a beautiful thought that is. Something for us to learn from. That you become who you already are, the imprint of the Holy already on you, the blessing of God's love already on you, your fingerprints designed exactly as they were meant to be designed already on you, your partner ready for you to discover and find and marry, your vocation unfolding before you. You thought Broadway, but no, it turned out to be therapy. I mean, becoming who we already are. This text in Mark's gospel, like, you know, there's different versions of things. And in Mark's gospel, John is, you know, doing the someone greater than me is coming. And Jesus don't need to get baptized because he does not need to repent of any sin. But he takes his human self to the river with all the other people, right? And he gets in the water with all the other people. I think because he wanted to be in the water with all the other people, perhaps a little extroverted, maybe I'm projecting, but he wanted to be in the water with the people where the action was, where the organizing was happening, where the becoming was becoming. Those people that got in the water, those people were drawn to John, drawn to the gospel, drawn to the good news, drawn to the idea of repenting, of changing something inside themselves so they'd be better than they used to be, get it together more than they had it before. And they got in the water and they changed something inside themselves, and then John symbolized it by throwing some, by dunking them in the water. But they were already who they were. Like the water didn't make them who they were. They were already holy. They just maybe weren't as whole as they were going to get. They were already blessed. But maybe they were not quite knowing how beautiful they were. They were already chosen. But maybe they just didn't know for sure that their chosenness did not matter what the world thought, but it mattered what God had already done. So they were looking for something. And I feel like Jesus wanted to get in there with them and be like, yeah, here it is. In Mark's gospel, Only Jesus sees the sky open. Like in Mark's gospel, Jesus is the only one that has that experience. So he sees the sky open, and he sees the dove descend, and he hears his Father God, Mother God own him. And say, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. Some commentators try to act like Jesus didn't know that. And that he needed the dove to, where's my water, baby? He needed the dove to let him know. Jesus knew what time it was. He knew he was blessed. And he knew he belonged to God. But Mark has us kind of see the story that everybody else doesn't know, like a kind of messianic secret. So we, the reader, know, and Jesus knows, but nobody else knows. In Mark's gospel, they don't quite know yet that this is Son of God. They just don't know quite yet that this is Son of God. I believe that the gospel writers want us to understand how very much like we how we are like Jesus. How the magical, beautiful, transforming moment of getting in the water and having the dove descend upon you and having God say, you're mine, I love you, that's not unique to that Son of God, that it is in fact available to all the children of God. That all of the children of God, that all of us are the beloved ones of God. And God already delights in us and is pleased with us and adores us and is crazy for us and has done crazy things for us and will continue to do them for us because we belong to God. Like we didn't have to do anything yet for that to be true. My friend Nadia Bolz-Weber I'm so messed today. You be over there and I'm gonna be over here. Nadia Bolz-Weber, it's going to work better. She wrote a blog for her post on the corners, and someone sent it to me this morning. I was like, damn, somebody's going to say I plagiarized Natalie. I did not plagiarize Nadia Bolz-Weber when I said you were already beloved before you got baptized. But we're both saying that today. Do you know why? Because it's true. It's like a ubiquitous truth that we don't get taught. You didn't wake up needing to prove to God that you were beautiful. You didn't wake up needing to show God that you were worthy. You didn't need to wake up and pretend to God that you weren't going to make any mistakes, because God made you full of mistake making and knew that God was doing that, because that I think God thought that was enjoyable. Let's see what they're going to do. How's that going to work out? Oh, isn't that cute? Type of feeling. Not made us worms needing to be saved so we could grow a baby to kill the baby to save us. What kind of craziness is that? Instead, we are siblings of the Holy One. That scripture, I'm not making that stuff up. We are just like Jesus. So when we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Maybe we do need to ask ourselves, what would I do? Because Jesus is in you. There's no secret password to find out that you are the hands and the feet and the heartbeat of the Holy. It goes all the way back to Augustine in 400. Well, it goes back to Paul of Tarsus saying, Christ is in us, let's be like him. Augustine of Hippo, black man, by the way, let's imitate God, imitato Dei. It goes back to novels written in 1891, to books written by scholars. Over time, centuries of time, people wondering what the essence of the God thing is, and they get to, it's Jesus. But it's the human Jesus living inside of us, mentoring us, showing us how to be human in the world in a divine kind of way. Am I making sense? What would Jesus do? What would you do if you were being like Jesus? What would you do? theologian in residence in your own life, if you're being like Jesus, what would you do? What would you do, people who might see this online? How would we talk to one another if we were feeling like we were in a case, a container, a repository for holy? How would we be in the world? What kind of politic would we live if we were doing what Jesus would do inside us? What kind of words would we use in the social media? What kind of songs would we write? What kind of relationships would we build? How would we use our money? Where would we shop? How would we take care of our bodies if we were doing what Jesus would do if Jesus was us? Do you feel what I'm saying? Yeah. This is our project. This is the whole ballgame. We are not on the planet to make sure we behave in a way to parachute to heaven when the earth goes to hell. Do you need me to say that again? We are not on this planet to make sure we have a seat on the airplane going to heaven when the earth burns up and goes to hell. We are on the planet to live holy lives now. Holy, beautiful, powerful, kind, generous, loving, creative, generative lives now. Filled with the Spirit of Jesus, the mentor, the Rabbi Jesus mentoring us into goodness, kindness, righteousness, faithfulness. A little wine with dinner, hello. I don't think that the plan of God was to come to earth as an unattainable aspiration. I think the plan of God was to come and be like us so we would be like God. So God would be like us so we would be like each other. Do you? Now that's some crazy stuff I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say God is also becoming. I'm trying to say God is in process with us. I'm trying to say we are so blessed and lucky to be in relationship with this holy other that is both inside us and outside us and not so far from us that we can't be breathed upon, breathed through, inspired, enthused, filled up with holiness. That is not about prissiness. That is not about judgmentalness. But it is about being holy like the ordinariness of the guy that got in the muddy river to be baptized, who also went to the bathroom, maybe kissed somebody, but had a real life. What would Jesus do? Weep at the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and at the destruction of Gaza. What would Jesus do? Weep at the 37-year war in Sudan. Weep at the Congo. Weep at Haiti. Weep at Afghanistan. Weep at American politics. What would Jesus do? Get in the water with his cousin. Because the cool people were in the water. The action was in the water. And Jesus would baptize Teak Milan today because Teak is filled with Jesus like we are. Oh, you guys. Our project is to get to know Jesus, the real one. And be like that. Happy New Year, family. Let's be on this journey together, right? Let's be on this journey together. Let's be together, learn together, pray together, read together, dance together, eat together, protest together, be whole and holy together. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.